Are you all right, sir?
Fine. How have you been?
Fine, sir.
Good.
It's a good thing you were wearing that helmet.
Yeah.
What should we do now, sir?
Well, are we stopped?
We're stopped, sir.
Good. Well, why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Very good, sir.
Smoke if you got them.
Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello and welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. This is Chris in Dallas, Texas, and joining me as always is...
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada.
And this week we are covering Rauch beers.
Rauch, yeah.
Which are a traditional beer out of Germany, which basically means smoked beers.
Smoke them if you got them.
Talking about the style a little bit, I'm gonna actually just read the definition from the German Beer Institute.
Rauch.
It says, once upon a time, all beers were Rauch beers, so to speak. The term Rauch beer simply means smoke beers in German, and with the ancient kilning methods of drying green brewer's malt over open fires, all grains picked up smoky flavors and passed them on to the beers made from them. Today, however, with clean malt being the dominant brewing grist, old-style smoke beers have sort of set themselves apart as a throwback to a time gone by. Most Rauch beers, like Bavarian beers, are barley-based lagers, although I think a couple of ours today are not. And I wanted to read one more little thing from our trusty beer, drinking beer book. He has, as his Rauch beer definition, it says, see Marzen, Helles, Bock, and Weizen, then add a layer of dry, hammy smoke.
Nice.
Liquid bacon.
Hammy smoke.
Everything goes better with bacon.
That's right.
Bacon!
So after that little introduction, we'll go through the outline of the show. For our fermentation conversation this week, we are doing Stone's Smoked Porter.
Rauch.
And then we will move on to our hop topics, then into the tasting flight. Mike, what are you trying this week?
Weyerbacher Fireside Ale, and that's from Weyerbacher Brewing Company.
Awesome. Toby?
I'm going back to our good friends Rogue Brewing Company, and I'm going to check out their Smoke Ale.
Nice. And then me, I am doing the Shiner Smokehouse.
Nice.
Out of Shiner Brewing.
You know, when you said you were looking for your smoke local, first thing I thought of was Shiner, and I don't know if it's because I knew in the back of my mind that there was a smoke beer that they did, or just, I don't know, I
possible.
Just thought Shiner.
It's the first, I had never seen, I saw this beer, the Smokehouse, in a grocery store a couple weeks ago, and that's what made me decide I wanted to do a smoked beer episode. I had never seen it before, so, yeah.
Cool.
Then we'll move into our Tweet of the Week. We have some interesting backwash, a very special episode of Backwash this week. Then we'll move into our last call. And with that, are you guys ready to drink some Stone Smoke Porter?
Let's crack it.
Yeah.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're going to talk about it. We're going to drink some beer. Yeah. This is a fermentation conversation.
Alrighty then. For this week's fermentation conversation, we are talking about Stone's Smoked Porter.
Rauch.
Out of Stone Brewing in Escondido, California. Their website is www.stonebrew.com. The style of this beer is an American porter. It has an ABV of 5.9%, and the IBUs are 53. Ingredients used in this beer are a peat smoked specialty malt, Columbus and Mount Hood hops. This beer was first released in December of 1996. Rate beer rating of 98. Beer Advocate users rated it an A-, and the Allstrom brothers also give it an A-. And you guys are awfully quiet. I think that's because you really want to drink some beer.
I'm just staring at the bottle cap here. I'm trying to power it off with my mind.
Well, if this was released in 96, this is part of their original lineup.
Yeah. I think what would be even more effective than prying it off with your mind, Mike, is to actually use a bottle opener. Like that.
That's a brilliant idea.
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
It's all portery.
Ooh, and some foam. I've got, like, a good at least 3 fingers. Nice brown.
I have 5 on one hand, 5 on the other.
That's true. So do I.
It's got a head on it that looks kind of like coffee ice cream. Yeah. Really, really tan. Dark tan.
Whoa.
Really dark brown color. Not so much. It a lot like a porter. It's not thick and opaque like a stout would be. It's
right.
It's
there's got some a clear ruby color highlights in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can't see through it, but it's yeah, so you're right. I mean, it's not like a stout. There's some clarity to it.
Great head.
Very caramely.
Yeah.
Kind of smell.
Yeah, I'm getting chocolate in the scent.
Very malty.
Like a bitter chocolate.
Oh, yeah, there is a nice little chocolatiness in there. Kind of yeasty, too. Smells pretty good.
Got some roasted roastiness in there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Which I'm sure is going to be used quite a bit in this episode.
Yeah. Which I think maybe be a show one time. We'll try to find a beer that has the most roasted roastiness. That
yes, that's a good idea.
Style we'll pick. Or we'll do a beer coasters award. It'll be an award. The beer that has the most roasted roastiness. Then the roasty roastedness award goes to...
Well, that'll have to be Ralph. After our home. That'll have to be after our homebrew segment, so we can give it to ourselves,
right?
Yes,
because all these breweries seem to be all about awarding themselves medals.
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea.
So, has anybody tasted it yet?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I know Mike did. He went on tasting right away. Didn't take no time.
What you got, Mike?
It's not as much smoke as I remember.
You know, I was just thinking the exact same thing, because I've had this beer a lot before.
It's a little bitter and dry.
It's not as smoky as I remember it.
It's got chocolate malt. It's got a very, like, chocolate malty flavor to it.
Yeah, bitter chocolate. A little bit of smoke in the end there after a little while. Some of the aftertaste, you get some smoke on the tongue.
It's very balanced though. Got that very creamy, chocolatey coffee flavor going.
Yeah, sip number 2, I get a little more smoke in there.
Yeah, we did the beginning of the show, we did one of our first episodes was a porter episode, and I know Mike it's one of your favorite styles. This is a really good example of a really good porter.
Yeah, it's, definitely. I mean,
it's very clean too.
Yeah,
it's got a nice mouthfeel.
Yeah, no oiliness on it. No.
Yeah, the mouthfeel's just like a right good full. It's not too heavy of a mouthfeel. It's just a good medium mouthfeel.
And it's interesting because it's a pretty light carbonation. It's not real bubbly.
Right.
Yeah, it's not harsh. Mm-mm.
Which lends into that creaminess that you're tasting, which goes well with the chocolate flavor. You want something that's a little more creamy.
There's a little bit of sweetness, too.
Yep.
Kind of a creamy sweetness. Nice lacing.
I want to say there's some other kind
really
of nutty.
Really good lacing going on.
Yeah, I was just thinking
some
the same thing.
Some other kind of nutty smell and taste. Maybe like almonds, like a... I don't know.
A little bit of nuttiness. There's
some kind of light nuttiness going on.
This beer is a lot mellower than I remember it being.
Oh, yeah. I remember first trying this and being like, whoa. It's like, whoa, can't believe the smoke and there's, you know, the hops are there and everything. And now it's definitely.
I don't know if they've adjusted their recipe and toned it down a little bit.
I think it's just our palates over time have kind of adjusted to all this stuff.
Yeah. I haven't had this in a really long time either, so.
It's suggested serving temperature is 45 to 50. And this is pretty cold. This is straight out of the fridge for me. I mean, it's only been out of the fridge for about 5 minutes. I don't think warming it up would change it too much. Maybe give it a little more smokiness to it if it was warmer, maybe.
Yeah, I kind of purposely put mine in the refrigerator door. For some reason, it seems to not be as cold as kind of sticking it in the back of the fridge.
Yeah.
And I think it seems like it's like just the right temperature right now.
As it warms up a little bit
before we started to record, you know.
Right. On the back of the tongue, I'm starting to get more smokiness in there.
Yeah. It's pretty well balanced. There's not a whole lot of, I'm not getting any hops. Maybe a little bit. A little bit of hoppiness in there. Kind of bitter hops.
Not much at all though.
Really?
I don't know. A little bit.
Because you can almost smell the hops as it kind of settles down a little.
And they serve.
And it's definitely got a good bitterness to it. I think there's a lot going on. It's kind of hard to pinpoint. Particular thing. But I mean, it's definitely smoky, chocolatey. But I mean, you can't have a stone beer without it having the hops in there too. Right. And that's what I like about the porter style is you get all those chocolatey, malty flavors, but still get hops in there.
So Mike, if you were going to pair this with something, what would you be thinking?
I would say like a roasted duck, but I'm more of like a duck breast kind of guy. I'm not a big dark meat person, even though duck is kind of dark. I think good roasted like duck breast would be really good.
Nice. Maybe what about you? Would you pair it with anything?
I'm thinking some barbecue ribs. Good. Maybe some hickory smoked ribs or something like that. You know, nothing too sweet, but a good.
Yeah, I think I would.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna. It's interesting because I had something new yesterday. Went to a barbecue and I had goat for the first time.
Ooh.
And I had like this roasted goat that. First of all, goat, I was expecting to taste like lamb, and it tastes much more like beef.
Huh.
Tastes a lot like beef. And they had this roasted goat that tasted a lot like a pot roast. That would go excellent with this. The sweetness of the pot roast or goat would go really well with this, I think.
Did you wear your goat leggings?
No.
There wasn't any kind of other ritualistic thing going
on
besides
eating a goat. It was not a pagan barbecue. It was
people
just
against goodness and normalcy.
Yeah.
Sweet. Don't forget your goat leggings.
That's awesome. You didn't have to sacrifice the Virgin County swale or anything.
No. Oh. With that, I think it's time for some hop topics. What about you guys?
Yes.
Are we done talking about this beer already?
Yes.
We can still drink it in the next segment.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Hop topics.
Sweet.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
All right. Welcome to our Hop Topics segment.
Hop Topics.
Hop Topic.
Mike, take it away.
Okay. My Hop Topic.
Hop Topic.
Is from Beer Advocate this time. I grabbed it off to their new. I grabbed it off their news section of their website. And
this is a great smoke porter.
Spoke, yes, it is. We are still sipping on our smoke porters, by the way. If you guys remember a few shows back, I tasted was the porter show that I tasted Pugsley's Signature Series Imperial Porter. Well,
Pugsley.
He was
at it again. And what he's after this time is a smashed pumpkin. It's a pumpkin ale that actually looks like it's coming out in January, which is kind of an odd time, and it's kind of why I picked the article. Shipyard Brewing Company announces the release of new beer in its Pugsley Signature Series line. Smash no, Pumpkin says, will be available in
August.
Late, oh, it does say late August. There was some article I read earlier about January. Huh. Sorry about that. And it'll be come out in 22-ounce bottles, which is the rest of the Signature Series. They say it's a big-bodied beer, light coppery-orange color. There's all kinds of pumpkin and nutmeg. And it'll be 9% alcohol. And you should check this out, because I tried that Imperial Porter in the Signature Series. It was pretty good.
You know, I don't think I've ever had a pumpkin ale. I know that there's several places that do them.
I can't wait to do the pumpkin ale show, because I love them. You know, some are much better than others, for sure. But I'm looking forward to doing a pumpkin ale.
I'm looking forward to going back to them, because the one time that I did have it a few years ago, I had Buffalo Bills, and I wasn't too impressed, but I'm willing to. Actually, that was a long time ago, now that I think of it. It was probably a good 8 or 10 years ago when I had it, so I'd like to go back to it. Check it out.
Unfortunately, you'll probably have to wait till the fall to try them, but we're definitely looking forward to it.
I think that'll probably be our Halloween episode.
Nice.
They also mentioned 55 degrees, which is, you know, pretty warm, which interests me as far as trying this at a relatively warm temperature for a beer. So,
speaking of temperatures, like as this smoked porter warms up, we were talking about this in the last segment, I'm definitely getting more smoke now.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely more smoke.
Definitely.
Rauch.
Rauch. More Rauch.
And that's it for me. Check it out.
Tell me, what do you got?
My story comes out of the Centennial View, which is the locals section of the Las Vegas Review Journal, and it comes in the mailbox, and I was so excited when I pulled it out and I saw a guy from Tenaya Creek holding up a couple of growlers right there on the cover. So there's this cool little story in there about Tenaya Creek Brewing Company, which is local brewing company here in Las Vegas. And since I'm always telling people to support their local...
And I'm not Mike, Toby.
Mike's not there.
Somebody else has been somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah. I lived in Vegas for like 2 years, and Tenaya Creek had a cool little brew pub type place there, which
I guess
you said doesn't exist anymore, huh?
Well, no, it's still there. They got rid of the restaurant side, because it was a nice little restaurant / brewery, and... probably late last year, I think, they got rid of the restaurant side of it, which I was kind of sad to see it go, because I really like the food there, but the beer is good too. So the story is basically about how they're now going to start bottling, and they've started distributing all throughout Las Vegas, which is cool, because when I go around to different bars here, excuse me, in Las Vegas, I don't see a lot of local stuff on tap. There's Big Dogs Brewing Company, which has about 3 different locations where you can go and just get their beer at the restaurant. And they have a brew house, which I really love their stuff. But you don't see it anywhere else. You know, you can't just go into Joe Schmo's bar and get, you know, the latest from Big Dogs on tap, you know. So it's cool to hear this. Tim Etter, he's the owner and original master brewer at Tenaya Creek. He said that they opened a traditional Las Vegas tavern back in October of 99 with the purpose of providing a high-quality microbrew, and he says that they succeeded. They shut down the restaurant and turned all their attention solely to the brewery. Last June, and I don't know if they mean this past June or the June before, probably the June before, June of 08, the brewery began distributing beer throughout the city. You can now find it at about 60 different locations, including the Bellagio, ESPN Zone at New York, New York, Montelego.
That's cool to see it in the casinos and the hotels and stuff, seeing local beer. That's very cool.
I mean, I don't get down to the strip enough, you know, to see this kind of stuff. Montelago Village at Lake Las Vegas carries them, Hard Rock Cafe, and the Gold Spike in downtown. Now, at the end of the year, they're going to start introducing a 22-ounce bottle. They don't say of, you know, which one they're going to bottle. Maybe just their main lineup. They have about four main beers. And at the 22-ounce bottle at the end of this year, and then next year, they hope to have 12-ounce bottles on retail shelves. So I'm excited. I like Tenaya Creek. Some of their beers would include a Nut Brown, a Gold Medal Pilsner, Ringtail Pale Ale. They have a Hefeweizen. And they always have a seasonal, too. And right now, they've got a Belgian White. And they also have a barley wine. So, yeah, I'm excited. So if you're in Las Vegas and you happen to see Tenaya Creek on at a strip property bar, check them out because they're local. So, yeah.
We know. Drink local. Awesome. Local's fresh.
Yeah.
Awesome. So for my hop topic this week, I am talking about a beer tasting that Beer Advocate and All About Beer magazine are holding. It's the first Denver rare beer tasting. It will be in Denver on September 25th from 1 to 4 at the Wincoop Brewery. It's a benefit to benefit the Pints for Prostates campaign. Sweet. And I know, Toby, you had an article in one of our first shows about the Pints for Prostate campaign put on by, was it Us2 International Prostate Cancer Education and Support Network? Just prostate cancer awareness and screening and that sort of thing.
Isn't that cool that we're actually referring to other shows that we've done on this show, that we've done
That's
enough
awesome.
So we can refer to other shows?
And we can say that it was a while back.
Yeah. Yes, a while back.
10 okay. or more episodes.
That's great. So this sounds like a really cool beer tasting. It's being held at the same time as the Great American Beer Festival. So people kind of that are going to the Great American Beer Festival can hop over to Denver and do this. It's a rare beer tasting. So breweries bring sort of their really rare beers that they don't normally have, and they're going to sample them for the people that go there. They're limiting the ticket sales to 450 people, which is, that's really like nobody. A preliminary list of some of the breweries: Alaskan, Allagash, Avery, Boston Beer, Bison, Dogfish Head, Foothills, Harpoon, Jolly Pumpkin, New Belgium, New Glarus, Pizza Port, Rogue, Stone, Stouts, Victory, and Wincoop. So, like, some of the like most well-respected craft brewers out there are going to be at this
nice
tasting. It sounds awesome. I mean, yeah. And I looked at the price. The prices are $55 in advance and $65 at the door, which is
wow.
Crazy cheap.
Well, I know if it's going to a good cause, you know.
Yeah. If I was going to the Great American Beer Festival, this would be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Which hopefully they do this again next year and we will be able to go there. So that's mine. I'm excited to see kind of what they have coming out. So all the breweries are gonna be presenting rare beers, but they also have the brewers there talking about it. So not only will you get to try these rare beers that most people won't get a chance to try, but you also get a chance to meet up with the brewers and talk to them and stuff. So cool stuff.
Very nice.
Ooh. And that's my hot topic for this week. Mike, you ready to drink some smoky beers?
Hell yeah.
Some Rauch beer?
Rauch.
All right, let's move on.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
I mentioned that I really like my intro music.
Sweet.
All right.
Thanks.
For my beer, for my smoked beer, it's Weyerbacher's Fireside Ale.
Wow.
This is from... what?
That's some good beer.
Yeah. Weyerbacher Brewery.
Good beer, just, man.
Just in case you didn't hear that over all the commotion, it's Weyerbacher Brewery, and that is www.weyerbacher.com. Weyerbacher. This is a smoked dark ale. And the ABV on this one is 7.5. Take that, Stone.
Nice.
It is classified as a dark ale with a touch of smokiness, but I don't know about that. We're going to see
just
in a minute.
A touch.
Interesting note about this. This brew began its life as Charlie. Yes, beer was named Charlie. It was the third installment of the Brewers Select series, and now it's a part of their regular seasonal lineup and will be released. It says it's released in January.
You got the January from.
That's where I got the January from.
And the Hop Topic.
Aha, you're right. Rate Beer rates this a 79 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this a B+, and the Allstrom Brothers didn't weigh in on this one. I'm going to crack it open.
Dude, looking at the Weyerbacher website, they have a huge lineup of beers.
They do have a lot of beer.
They got a lot. I mean, they've even got a Imperial Pumpkin.
Pumpkin. I'm craving a pumpkin ale now. Keep talking
about
it.
See, I told you.
I've seen the Old Heathen. I've seen that one before. That label looks familiar.
I'm getting kind of a dark fruit right off the bat, as Chris likes to say.
Right off the bat.
It's the smokiness is the reason I picked this, and I wanted to mention this, that I picked this beer because it was smoked with peat, like Stone was. So I wanted to have something similar, kind of base my rating on. It was peat smoked as opposed to hickory or beechwood or anything like that. So
mesquite,
yeah.
Mine is smoked with mesquite.
Mm-hmm. It's got that little bit of funk in there that you guys know I'm a fan of, that earthy, funky, dirty.
The dirty,
Mike
dirty.
Is a fan of the funk.
It's dark amber brown in color. So I still got two fingers ahead, and I've been sitting here talking about this for a little while, and it's not dissipating anytime soon.
Two fingers of funk!
It's got kind of a light tan head. I'm going to take a sip.
How's it taste?
Well, speaking of whiskey, I get the sip. It's alcohol. But there's definitely a lot of sweetness to balance that out.
Definitely.
Whiskey.
Dark caramel, toasty. I wouldn't say it's got a lot of roasted roastiness, but there's definitely a toasted element in there, like a very, very light caramel toastedness. It's kind of like a Scotch ale, but a little sweeter.
So
very
it's got
bready,
that
nutty,
kind of thick alcohol taste.
The alcohol's there, but it wouldn't say it's a thick alcohol. But it kind of reminds me of a Scotch ale, and that's the earthiness still coming through. And the smokiness is much more subtle than the Stone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting any of that, like, bacon kind of flavor?
You know, I'm not. Because it just doesn't have that, like I said, where it's the peat smoke as opposed to, like, you know.
Like a mesquite or a hickory.
Yeah,
or
a mesquite, yeah, or something like that. It's just not.
I was looking at some reviews where they kind of brought that up. And
yeah, I think.
I like the bacon, so.
Yeah. Big fan of the bacon.
That's two shows in a row where we've talked about
really
the greatness of bacon.
The greatness of bacon. It's a really interesting beer. It'd be hard, like, if I were to try this to. I think I would have mentioned that it was kind of a lightly flavored Scotch ale, but there's other flavors in there that doesn't make it light, you know. So it's not as smoky as a traditional Rausch beer, but the flavors I think are more complex. If I were going to pair this with anything, it kind of reminds me of, like, I don't know, I think if you did like steak and beans like over a campfire,
oh,
like if you hang
nice
out at a campfire, like camping, This is a good, like, camping beer.
You get thumbs up for that one.
There's just all kinds of stuff going on. There's that earthy and the little bit of smoke and the sweet. Pretty good. That's it for me. It
definitely sort of fits that fireside concept.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's so funny because now I feel like a complete idiot. Thanks for that, Chris.
What?
That I didn't even make that connection in the commercial. Just now.
Mike just plugged Weyerbacher big time.
Commercial. It works. The fact that you weren't aware of that it still fits and that's what you thought of means that they at least know what they're talking about when they named it.
Or it's just subliminal.
That's so funny. That's
or
seriously, I had no idea.
So it does taste like fireside. It doesn't taste like Charlie, right?
No, it doesn't taste like Charlie. At least I hope not. I don't know what Charlie tastes like.
I hope you don't know what Charlie tastes like. And
I don't know why they would call this. I don't know why they would call this beer Charlie.
That's where I'm cutting you guys off.
On that note.
Cutting you guys off right there.
All right, that's it. Cut.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Right Off the Bat with Toby in the West
Our
Side.
Our new segment, Right Off the Bat with Toby and Chris.
Now, this is
we
Toby.
Should do a baseball podcast called Right Off the Bat.
That would be awesome.
Baseball.
Except for the Padres aren't doing so well this year.
You hate baseball?
I hate baseball.
All right. Don't talk shit about my Red Sox and we're
okay. Let's move on.
So out here in the West region, the Western region of the U.S., my craft beer, I am revisiting Rogue Brewing Company, and this time I'm trying their Smoke Ale, which I don't really remember seeing on the shelf. When you see the Rogue, the huge library of Rogue on the shelf when you go to the craft beer store, I never really noticed the Smoke Ale. So this time when I saw it, Smoke Beers, I was like, bam, I'm on it, baby. So this is Rogue Brewing Company. They're from Newport, Oregon. They've been brewing since 1988. Their website is www.rogue.com. That's R-O-G-U-E. Rogue is a river in Oregon. I've been on it. I've been in it.
Of course you have.
Toby been there story.
The style of beer is a Rauch beer. It's 6% ABV. It's got 48 IBUs. I couldn't find how cold you should cellar this, but you should serve it at 50 to 55. So I would guess you would cellar it at like anywhere between 40 and 50 degrees.
Out of the three of us, do any of us have cellars?
No. You do, don't you?
I have a beer fridge.
I do.
I have a
but
beer fridge.
My cellar has like a washer and dryer and old band equipment and a furnace. It's
There's
not
no
really
big, huge oak made barrels with cobwebs beer. Everywhere.
Yeah, I don't go down to the catacombs and pull out my, 1998 Rogue. Something or other.
Okay. So you can find this in 22-ounce bottles, and you can find it on draft also, and it's a year-round beverage. The ingredients in this, now check this out, it's got some crazy amount of malts in this bad boy. They've got Great Western Harrington malts, Klages, Munich, and Hugh Baird crystal malts, Karistan 30 to 37 and 13 to 17, Chuck's Alderwood Smoked Munich, and Smoked Bamberg Beechwood.
I think it's interesting that they use two different smoked malts.
So we'll see how smoky this thing is.
Ooh, Pac-Man yeast too.
Yeah, and the hops. Crazy. It's got the Saaz and the Pearl hops, and it uses the Rogue's Pac-Man yeast. Interesting note about the brewery is actually the beer. It's been brewed since 1990. It was previously known as the Welcomin on draft. It was a German style Rauch beer inspired by the fall of the Berlin Wall. And it's cool if you look at the label, they've got, behind the typical person on the front holding up their fist, there's a little like graffiti ridden wall behind him.
Nice, a Berlin Wall and a beer label. Nice.
It's pretty cool. And the Berlin Wall, I've been there too, so.
Shut up.
And Crazy Dave's
in 2006, New Zealand International Beer Awards. They won the silver, and I've been there.
Nice.
I've been to New Zealand.
Most Rauch beers are bottom fermented. However, the Rogue Smoke is top fermented. So that's why it's called a smoke ale, I would assume. I'm cracking it open. Sorry, Chris.
You better crack it open and drink it and taste it and smell it and all that stuff.
2 seconds.
It's interesting because part of the ingredients, they list free range coastal water.
Yeah, they always do that.
Free range water.
All their beers, they do that for some reason. Like, I don't know what free range coastal is.
They're not allowed to go certain places. Oh, this water can go wherever it wants.
It's not caged. It's just water that's not been caged.
That's good.
It's not caged water.
Sweet. Caged water.
Okay, so when I pour this, I've got about a finger and a half of really foamy, off-white, bubbly head. It's a fairly cloudy body. It's kind of an amber color, copperish amber color. A little bit of bubbles in there.
Can you smell this? The smoke?
Oh, it's like some sort of smoked. First thing I thought of was smoked salmon, but it's not that fishy. It's just got this really kind of thick, smoky.
Fishy beer does not sound
grill.
No, it does
it's
not.
Like, it's like meaty kind of smokiness to it. Oh, like a beef jerky, like a smoked beef jerky. That's what it is. But it's a really kind of almost a teriyaki sweet.
So it's similar to this, the Alaskan smoked porter then, huh? It's got more of that.
I don't know. You know, salmon. I've never had the Alaskan smoked porter.
Wow.
So I couldn't agree with you on that one.
Well, fine.
Yeah,
then.
Beef jerky. It's like a teriyaki beef jerky. Ooh, this might be pretty good. Okay, so the head is dissipated down to very thin head. Taking a sip or a bite. I don't know.
That'll be another one we'll have to do. Chewy beers.
It's got a lot of the taste is a lot like the smell. There's a kind of grassiness to it.
So it very tastes thin like soy body. Sauce, brown sugar, and garlic.
Nice.
Very smoky. Interesting. It's kind of like a like an amber with smoke in it. Kind of a thick smokiness. It's very thin body though. It's not real thick. Not too sweet. Although there is maybe a little bit of maple in there. Yeah. It's pretty good. Some hops.
So like a maple bacon maybe?
No, not a little bit. But very thin mouthfeel, so it's not real chewy. But the way it smells. It smells like it's gonna be a huge mouthful and it's gonna be real chewy. Not too much. It's okay. Oh, I didn't say what Rate Beer and the Beer Advocate users thought. Rate Beer gave it an 81 out of 100, and the Beer Advocate users gave it a B+, and the Alstrom Brothers gave it an A-.
Wow.
So I'm actually using a pint glass for this one. As far as pairing this with something, I'd say a nice... I'm thinking pulled pork sandwich with some potato salad.
Nice.
Interestingly, this kind of feels like a summer beer almost, or a good kind of warm afternoon lunchtime beer.
So, I'm telling you guys, when we talked about doing this segment, doing smoked beers, you guys were like, smoke in summer? And I'm like, yeah, smoke goes perfect in summer.
Well, right. Some
just to
I
play
found...
devil's advocate, there's two smoke beers I tried to find that were out of season. So
right.
There.
I
think all these beers should be year round, you know? Cuz you should be able to choose what beer you want for the season. I love seasonals, but I also want to get them all year round.
Yeah.
I think smoked as a style seems applicable to summer because that's barbecue weather. That's you know.
I think you're right,
what
Chris.
You do in the summer.
It's not more of a lawnmower type beer, but it's barbecue. I can't really fit it in with a winter time, not like a barley wine or something like that with really high alcohol.
It doesn't have that chewy, full body, right. Like full mouth feel. Yeah.
Exactly. This one is pretty drinkable. It's pretty thin. It's not a whole lot of body. Chuggability is probably in medium. Anyway, so yeah, pulled pork sandwich with some potato salad. I would pair with this bad boy.
Sweet.
From Rogue.
I drink now?
I guess so. How much time we got?
Not much, because your damn review going so long.
All right.
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
All righty, folks. This is Chris here in Dallas, Texas, and for tasting flight this week, I am doing the Shiner Smokehouse. It is out of Spotzel Brewery in Shiner, Texas, basically Shiner Brewing. The website is www.shiner.com. The style is a Helles style. The ABV is 4.89%, so not a very high alcohol content. IBUs of 16, so not a very hoppy content. Mm-hmm. Interesting note, it's brewed with a pale malt that is mesquite smoked on site at the brewery. So they don't actually buy their smoked malt from somebody else, which a lot of the other places do. They actually smoke it on site.
Nice.
They didn't smoke it in Texas. I think they'd get a lot of crap.
So, that being said,
New York City!
We'll see whether or not that's a good idea. The rate beer rating is a 22 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users did give it a B-, and the Allstrom Brothers have not weighed in on this beer, which isn't surprising. I think it's a rather new beer. I haven't found much in regards to how old it is. So I am going to crack it open. Don't know the cellaring temperature, but it is said you should be serving it between 50 and 55, so it should be a slightly warmer beer than most.
Chris, is it true that Shiner is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year?
It is, actually. They just released their 100th.
1909.
Yep. They released their 100 commemorator beer. That's the brewery impressive. Itself has been around for a long time. I think it's changed hands a couple times, but
yeah, it's gone through different names and stuff. I remember reading an article in the beer magazine about Shiner Spetzel and how their long history.
The original brewer was I can't remember his first name, but Spotzel was the original brewer.
Cosmos.
So, that's right, Cosmos. Yeah, Cosmos Spotzel was the original brewer, and so they've retained that name for the brewery, and it's Shiner Brewery since it's in Shiner, Texas. So I've poured the beer.
The Cosmos Brewery sounds cooler.
Yeah, it does. It's a golden color, really, really light looking.
Clear. See, like, straight through that beer. I could see your face when you hold that up.
It's very
see
light.
See your face right through it.
It's got about a half a finger of head. The head's interesting because it didn't pour on real thick, but it doesn't dissipate. It's kind of staying right at that half finger, which is kind of interesting. Off-white head. Like I said, the color is like just a super clear golden color. Smelling it, I'm getting along the same lines as what you were getting, Toby. Maybe like a beef jerky. Maybe not a teriyaki beef jerky, more just a traditional mesquite. I'm getting that some mesquite smoke off of it. It's not bad from a color perspective and a scent perspective. Wow. Tasting it, I get the smoke right off the bat, so to speak. Yeah, that's mesquite is coming through. Now, I like mesquite smoked meats, so I'm liking the taste of it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, mesquite sounds like definitely interesting smoke. You know, it has a very distinct smell.
It's very interesting because it's like a pilsner with liquid smoke added to it.
Chris, have you used liquid smoke before in your cooking?
I have for... The only thing I use it for is... I might use it for like a... when creating a barbecue sauce or...
Yeah.
I use it to make... Hawaiian style kalua pork. You use it in that a lot.
You can kind of cheat with the ribs and stuff too sometimes. You can put some of that liquid smoke on.
Yeah, I try not to do that though. I actually have a smoker, so I try to smoke it for real.
Well, you are in Texas. I think it's...
Yes. It's required.
It's a law down there.
Yeah, when I got here, I was issued a little ticket that I had to go within a certain amount of time buy this smoker. And if I didn't, I would be fined and all this stuff. It was really complicated. Anyway...
You'd be deported. They have the smoker authority that comes by your house, check on your barbecue. This is not up to standards. We're going to have to deport you back to California. You go back to the city, boy.
I do kind of like this. It's very smoky. It's light, though.
It'd be a good barbecue summer beer then?
Absolutely. I mean, pairing this with something, I would definitely pair it with, I don't know how to get away from using that word, but what would I pair this with? No,
we've been doing less and less each show.
But we've replaced it with definitely.
Oh yes, definitely. Definitely, we've replaced it with definitely.
I think pork, like baby back pork ribs would go perfect with this. Mesquite smoked baby back pork ribs would go awesome with this. In fact, I'm thinking next weekend, smoking some ribs and drinking some of this.
Anybody got a toothpick?
Anybody got a toothpick?
Yeah, overall, I think it's tasty. And with that,
Shiner,
we'll go into our tweet.
Tweet of the week! Yeah! It's the tweet of the week! Tweet of the week! It's the tweet of the week! Tweet of the week! Yeah! Riggs says, beer, nuts, and a book on Charles Manson. Ah, Sunday. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet. Tweet of the week, yeah.
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coasters email and hotline.
And welcome to a very special episode of the Beer Coasters Backwash. This week, we'd like to address drunk dialing. And here to demonstrate drunk dialing, Crazy Dave.
Beer Coasters! This is Crazy Dave. I'm just calling to say what's up, let you guys know that I'm on my third of four Dogfish Head 90-minute IPAs. I'm getting a little tore up, having some fun, learning about some wine. Anyhow, talk to you guys later. Bye. Beer Coasters. Maybe I should have had dinner with my session of 90-minute Dogfish at IPA.
What you have here is an Imperial India Pale Ale featuring a single constant 90-minute hop addition. It's balanced by a ridiculous amount of English two-row barley. Then we dry hop it in every tank.
What?
Name the beer, bitches.
Beer coasters!
We're drinking Dogfish Head 90-minute IPA.
and we're a little trashed. So we thought we'd drunk out of the beer coasters, because you all fucking kick ass.
9.8%, biatches.
What? Hey, what is malternative? You guys used that term last week, and Mike was very disparaging of towards it, and I'm just wondering what the hell it is. Anyhow, that's all I got. This is Crazy Dave. It's 3 in the morning. Bye.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is malternative. A malternative beverage is a term describing certain flavored alcoholic beverages, including any wine, malt beverage, or beverages containing distilled alcohol that also contain various fruit juices and other flavorings. Examples are as follows: Bacardi Breezer, Smirnoff Ice, Zima, Mike's Hard Lemonade, etc., etc.
So, thanks for that little bit of drunk dialing demonstration from Dave.
Did we learn anything today, kids?
We
don't
do have
drink and
one.
Dial.
Yeah. Don't drink and dial. Yes.
We do have one more little piece of backwash coming from Renee, who is a girl that listened to the podcast and actually had something to say about
she's
some of the stuff.
Girl.
Some of the stuff we drank last night. So with that, what do you got to say, Renee?
Hey guys, it's Renee, and I was just calling to say I tried the watermelon beer that you guys suggested for girls, and I loved it. And yes, I am female. So you should do another show on just beers that girls love. Thanks. Bye.
Last call!
And welcome to our last call segment. This is the segment of the podcast where we go over our pint ratings and just give our general opinions about what we've had today and maybe give a little bit of insight into upcoming whatevers, recommend some beer bars and that sort of thing.
Sweet.
So, with
that's
that...
what we mean by whatevers.
I'm going to throw it over to Mike with...
What?
What's your pint ratings for this week, Mike?
Ooh. Well, for the Stone Porter, I'm giving it a 4. It's been one of my favorites. It's kind of like one of my top favorite beers for quite some time. I'm giving it a 4. It's pretty high rating. It's not a 5. But it's a good solid 4. And I'm also going to rate the Weyerbacher Fireside Ale as a 4. Even though the beers are very, very different, they rank kind of up in the same class to me. As far as the flavors, the complexity of them, I'm going to give them both a good solid 4. For sure.
Toby, how you feeling about yours?
You know, I'm right up there with Mike. I was... Actually, you know what? I think I'm going to give the Stone Smoke Porter a 4.5 pints out of 5. I liked it just a little bit more than the Rogue Smoke Ale. So yeah, the Rogue Smoke Ale, I'm going to give it a 4. I thought it was good. It's very different. It's very smoky. As it warmed up and towards the bottom of the bottle, it got a little more body to it, a little more thicker maltness to it. But yeah, I'm gonna for a good Rauch beer, I'd say it's a good 4. So yeah, Stone Smoke Porter 4.5, Rogue Smoke Ale a 4.
Awesome. For my pint ratings this week, with the Stone Smoke Porter, I'm gonna go with a 4.5. Also, I for the longest time the Smoke Porter was one of my favorite beers. I love that beer so much, and. So 4.5 is where it sits with me. The Shiner Smokehouse, I'm going to give a 3.5. It's a pretty solid beer. It's got some interesting character to it, and I think it would be really good for a Midsummer's Day barbecue. I think it would be a good beer for that. So 3.5 for that one. So, and that's coming from Shiner Brewery, which you can find at www.shiner.com, and the Stone Smoked Porter. You can find more information about Stone's beers at www.stonebrew.com. And you guys have any websites you want to throw out there, maybe from what your beers were?
Sure. I want everybody to check out Weyerbacher Brewing Company. It's weyerbacher.com. Weyerbacher. And also, if you're in the Boston area and you're into craft beer, you have to go to Marty's Liquors in Newton, Massachusetts. It has the widest selection of craft beer I've ever seen. And I also wanted to mention the People's Pint. It was a little brewery out of Greenfield, Massachusetts, that was there. We did a few beer tastings there. It seemed to have some pretty good beer, and it seems like a fairly new brewery. Check them out. ThePeoplesPint.com.
Also, I talked about Tenaya Creek Brewing Company in my Hop Topics today. You could find them at www.TenayaCreekBrewery.com. That's T-E-N-A-Y-A CreekBrewery.com. And this issue of Beer Magazine has a whole section on Rauch beers. It's issue 11. It's the July-August issue of 2009. So if you see Beer Magazine on the shelves, pick it up. It's an awesome read. I love Beer Magazine. I've been a subscriber since the beginning. Yeah, good story on Rauch beers. And also check out Rogue.com, because that was my smoke ale today. R-O-G-U-E.
Awesome. And you can also follow us on Twitter. Beer Coasters Pod is our group Twitter name, and then mine is B Coaster Chris.
Mine is Beer Coaster Mike.
And I'm Beer Coaster Toby.
And you can also search for us on Facebook. Just search for Beer Coasters Podcast. As far as our individual emails, mine is chris@beercoasterspodcast.com.
I am Mike at beercoasterspodcast.com.
And of course, Toby at beercoasterspodcast.com.
You can also email us some backwash. And that email address is, can you guess it? Backwash at beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also leave audio backwash. There's two ways to do that. One is you go to the website and click on the little Google thing in the bottom and say, call me. And it'll call you back, and you can leave a message, put your name and number. It'll leave you, you can leave a message there, or you can call us at 972-914-8502. Leave us some backwash.
Love backwash.
You can, you can also post your comments directly on the website. Each episode has a little comment section. You can click on it and comment. Say, you love us, you hate us. You think our beers are crap, you think they're fantastic, let us know. Thank you.
And that website is beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also go to iTunes and search for us at the iTunes store for Beer Coasters and subscribe to us right there, and everything gets automatically downloaded into your iTunes library. It's pretty sweet. Then you can check out the website, beercoasterspodcast.com, on Mondays for the next time on Beer Coaster. See what we're drinking next week. Pick up some of those. Drink with us. See if you're tasting the same thing. See if you like it just like we do.
And as always, thank you very much for listening every thank week you. With the Beer Coasters Podcast. Tell your friends. Tell your friends' friends. Tell everybody to start listening. We really want more listeners to come on board and check out what we have to say and give us some backwash.
Support your local brewery. Drink local, because local's fresh. Don't forget that. Don't drink and drive.
And you guys have any more comments or suggestions? Favorite beer or bar? Or
anything? Tenaya Creek in Las Vegas, dude.
And I'll just say it again. Marty's Liquors in Newton, Massachusetts. That's the place to go for your beer. If you can't find your beer, you need to go there. because they're going to have it. If they don't, they'll get it for you.
Marty's Liquors.
I know. They're not a sponsor yet.
I think that kind of wraps it up for this week. Toby, you got one last little thing to say?
All I wanted to say was, Nazdarovia!
Nazdarovia!
Some good beer, man.